Well, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure, as always, for Debbie and me to be able to worship with you. Easter officially comes to its conclusion today. As we celebrate Trinity Sunday, we travel through all the important dates of the Easter season, the Palm Sunday, Easter, Pentecost. And now today we accept the merger of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. And it just so happens that all of this falls on Memorial Day weekend, when we honor those valiant people, those brave people, men and women, who laid down their lives in the fields of battle for their country, for their loved ones, and for the future generations. Memorial Day tomorrow is much more than just hot dogs and cold drinks. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Can everyone hear me so far? Are we good in the back? Good. Well, let's bow our heads then and pray for God's inspiration. Open our hearts. O Lord, we ask for your guidance as we search for your message to us. May we hear the meaning of your word, and may we understand the message and the biblical scripture and the love you send with it. We come to you hungry this morning to learn the good news of the gospel. And may the scripture, the music, and the message be meaningful to us and pleasing to you. Amen. I invite you now to read along with me, or simply listen to the word of our Lord. It's recorded this morning from the Old Testament, Psalm 77, from the New Testament, Luke 23, and also from the New Testament, Philippians. We begin with the Old Testament reading from the Psalms. I cry aloud to God that he may hear me. In the days of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without weary. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. Thou dost hold my eyelids from closing. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old. I remember the years long ago. I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate and search my spirit. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. Yea, I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate on all thy work and muse on thy mighty deeds. Thy way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? Thou art the God who workest wonders, who has manifested thy might among all the peoples. Thou didst with thy arm redeem thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And then from Luke, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And then from Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes this. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be thus minded, and if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Dear friends, the good news of the gospel. I think a stink bug just flew by. The good news of the gospel is that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will last forever. And this is the word of our Lord. Remembering and forgiving and forgetting. It's a kind of sensitive subject to speak to my fellow baby boomers about this morning. You know, those of us who are headed to 70 or have gone beyond that mark can understand the true meaning of those two words. Sometimes when I go into another room to get something, I have to stop and think and try to remember what it was I was going in there in the first place. And they say it only gets worse. So this morning we will not be going down that road of a kind of forgetting and remembering. But I do suppose there are many things which are best forgotten, though. Goodness knows the Apostle Paul thought so. He wrote to those church people at Philippi and he said, there's one strategy that I found out about life. There's one inside secret to being on top of things and seeing life through. And it's this: forgetting the things which are behind, I press onward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is saying, if you want my advice, learn to forget. And I really can't blame him too much. You know, there are many experiences in life that he really did not want to brood over, experiences that he wanted to block out of his mind. He wanted to block out of his early reputation as a murderer and Christian bounty hunter, for example. He had a good number of Christian scalps to his credit, and he didn't want to dwell on that. And he didn't want to dwell on the beatings and the imprisoning that he had received at the hands of his fellow Jews after he became a Christian. And I suspect that there were even a couple of church people themselves that made him a little bit miserable and whom he wanted to forget. Well, friends, I would wager this morning that this might be really a good strategy for all of us. The art of living requires that we be delivered from ghosts of the past. You know, somehow we must learn to live creatively by getting rid of those intimidations that ruin our present and our future. For example, I think we must learn to forget the slights of friends. We must forget the moral failures that hang around our neck like some kind of albatross. We must forget the shame and resentment of former days. How much better for us to be able to take these things and put them in a bag and throw them out into the big blue ocean out there and forget about them. Somehow bury them, lest the present be injured and the future be stunted. It's one of the major messages of our faith that we do have a God who remembers to forget and who will teach us to forget too. You know, how else can we rejoice after each prayer of confession that we offer on Sunday morning? Jill assured us just a few moments ago that God forgives us and forgets our sins of the past week. And how important it is to bury with God's good grace what is best forgotten. Leave it way back there, or it's not going to plague us at all any longer through the grace of Christ. Having said that, I think it's important to understand that we don't have a blank check with our Creator. Jesus said to that woman at the well, "Now go and sin no more." This business of remembering and being remembered is so crucial to us. You know, we love to be recalled by others. There's a kind of immortality in that, isn't it? And that's why when you go to your high school reunion and hope you'll know somebody, but even more important, that someone will be there to recognize you and link you with the past. To be remembered is why people pay money to have buildings named for them, or they put their hand in cement, or carve their initials in trees. Over the last number of years, funerals have become to be called memorial services, and family members have often been chosen to speak, perhaps because they fear that their loved ones will not be remembered well. And I do think sometimes that emphasis on the service overshadows the comfort of God and our honor of God's remembering and the new life that God gives. But that's another discussion for another time. I do think sometimes that way too much of the service is in remembering the deeds or the life of the individual who died. But we do want to be remembered, no doubt about that, and our loved ones to be remembered too. The Jewish Talmud says that if you want immortality, have a child, or write a book, or plant a tree. But even those things don't guarantee that we will truly be recalled generations from now. When Irving Berlin was writing the popular love song called Remember, way back when, he was stuck at the main line. He got this far. Remember the night you said I love you. Remember? Remember you vowed by all the stars above you. Remember? Remember we found a lovely spot, and after I learned to care a lot, you promised that you'd forget me not. And that's where he could not think of a line to finish it. The song was stalled for months until one day it came to him. And you forgot to remember. And that's a great line, if not a tragic one. Some persons and some events we need to remember. And so we want to be remembered by someone who is important to us. I'll mention some significant memories today on this Memorial Day weekend. First, notice how the Bible, you knew I'd get there eventually, didn't you? How the Bible urges us to remember God. Now, this is not just romance and nostalgia. It isn't as if God or Christ needed our fawning over them. But to remember God is to bring His love and power into the present. For example, the author of Ecclesiastes says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." It's kind of a warning. Remember your Creator before the days of trouble come and the years draw near when you will say, "I have no pleasure in them." Before all the daughters of song are brought low, when one is afraid of heights and terrors are in the road, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the breath returns to God who gave it. Good old Ecclesiastes, right? Well, what that simply means is that it's a warning to have a relationship with God before it's too late. Or the psalmist that we just read a few moments ago in deep trouble says, "I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord." Why? Well, if God saw you through difficulty once before, then He's going to see you through again. And there's power. There's a lot of power in that recollection. "I was once down and out, and He got me through. I was sick, and He visited me. I was broken, and He straightened my life out. I was at a dead end, And God showed me another door to open. And you see, if God did that years ago, He will do it again. He will do it again. In the Old Testament, the Jews remembered over and over the great saving act of God at the Red Sea. They were trapped by Egypt's chariots. You remember that from behind and the sea before. And then the waters parted, and God made a path through to freedom for His people, where once there was no way. And through all their history, the Jewish community has said, don't you ever forget that great act of salvation. The power of memory. Don't forget Him. He will save us again, now, today. And then in the New Testament, there's Jesus at the Last Supper. He breaks the bread and lifts the cup and He says, eat this bread and remember me. Drink this wine and remember me. And when we do, we have the power of His presence. We know that His brokenness and His shed blood 2,000 years ago were on our behalf, and that frees us from our sins. The power of yesterday's sacrifice on our behalf comes to us today. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. 2 Corinthians. You know, when pastors call upon their congregations to worship weekly, sometimes people think it's to support the minister. Hey, we need to be here for him. No, it's not that at all. You see, we forget, in the midst of making a living, making money, and buying stuff, and getting by, and having recreation, we forget God. We have a memory lapse of His grace. And we begin to think that the good things are things that we accomplished, that they are our doing, and that life can proceed without God. So that for some, God drops out of life altogether, except for a vague feeling. And when life tumbles in, and it always is going to happen sometime or another, life will tumble in on you. What we fall back on are only our meager resources, and that's not enough. And in addition, we forget the challenge to love our neighbors and our enemies. And without constant reminding, we don't know that the secret of life is in giving, not getting, in serving rather than ruling, and that dying to self is a way to life. Remember, recall the Lord, your God. And in so doing, the past becomes present power. Secondly, remember who you are. You know, I mentioned the Lord's Supper. Well, let me point to that other big sacrament, and that is baptism. You know, if I were to ask you whether you remembered your own baptism, most of us would say, well, no, because you were sprinkled as infants. But you do know whether you were cradled in someone's arms and whether someone called out your name in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And probably a pastor said something like, remember with what love we are called children of God, for so we are. And it's crucial. It's so crucial that we remember that. There are days when, we don't really feel like children of God, or we feel unworthy, or we don't feel not okay, or we feel ugly, or we feel like a motherless child. And it's then that we fall back on who we truly are. Luther, when anxious for his life and doubtful of his faith, yeah, Martin Luther was like us, and he had occasional lapses. But he would announce to himself, I was baptized. And it's the greatest compliment in the world. No matter where you are or how you feel, remember that you're God's child. And we can say with the psalmist, I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord, and I will remember the wonders of old. Or bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. I invite you to look back in your own experiences, maybe everywhere in your experiences. God has seen you through. You know, wasn't there a day when you felt low like that psalmist? Wasn't there a time when you got to a place that Job called his wit's end? My mother said I used to take her there all the time. Still, somehow, you found out, found a way out. Wasn't there a moment, maybe not too long ago, that you wondered if life was worth living? And then you found strength somewhere, coming from someone, and you rode it through. Wasn't there a dark time when you stood over a loved one who had died and wondered how you would make it out into the future? And then somehow hope came inside you and restored you. Don't think it was your own good constitution either. You did not rise to your feet again all by yourself. You were lifted up by your God. And just because God does not boom from heaven every time he saves you, doesn't mean he doesn't do it. It was he who spent the hours with you and put lightness back into your step. You see, if that's the way God kept faith with us back then, he will be faithful to us now and into the future too. You ever heard of a fellow by the name of Fred Craddock? I read some time ago an article that he had written. He was a colorful preacher way back when. And he was writing about how we should get over the sense that God is distant from us. And he said, and I quote, "How do we live with the experience of distance from God? I think mainly it is a matter of memory. Remember the good times. Remember the close occasions. Remember profound worship. Remember the Lord's table. Remember your baptism. Remember the bread and the cup. Remember your Christian friends. Remember the old songs, and you'll get through. It just hurts me to think of the young people who do not know a hymn, who do not know a single scripture verse, and who have never sat next to the strong shoulder of a believing man or woman. How will they ever make it? You see, what we do here on Sunday, in case you're wondering, is that we are making memories. What happens today will be the only food you will have one of these days. But it will be enough. It will be enough." End quote. Such powerful words from an old folksy pastor, Fred Craddock, from Tennessee. He wrote so many books in his life, and they're great reading. I recommend him. He died a few years ago. Okay, so what memories we have to live by that we have through God Almighty? I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came to me. I was bereaved, and he held on to me. And even though we walk sometimes through the valley of the shadow of the death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And said Jesus, you know, God watches the sparrows fall, and you and I, his children, are worth much more than many sparrows. And then, of course, the classic, the thief cries out, "Oh, Jesus, remember me." And our Lord said quietly, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." And on this weekend, on this Memorial Day weekend, I invite you to take some time out from your grills and lawn mowing and remember other things too. Remember our national heritage. I've been reading a fantastic book by David McCulloch entitled The Pioneers. It's about the brave people back in the 1790s who traveled to Ohio, and their many adventures are recalled by McCulloch. Well, we stand on the shoulders of so many people who went before us. The people who pioneered our country, who cleared the land, who dreamed the dreams, who set up our Constitution, who died in our wars, and who planned for peace. And it's because of their sacrifice and their gallantry in 101 ways, that we can stand a little bit taller and live a more comfortable life today. You know, I don't want to get poetic about it. Without a doubt, war is bloody and war is hell. And I'm not convinced that all the people who went out to fight in all the wars America has been in went out to save the world for democracy. I think they fought and they died for that plot of land that they called home. And they died to keep their families and their friends safe. They died so that we could answer a doorbell without fear, so that we could mark a ballot with more than one name on it, so that we could not only boo the umpire, but we could disagree with the President of the United States, so that the church would not be some rubber stamp for a dictator or a political party, so that there could be some real job that they could choose for a girl back home that they were waiting for, who perhaps didn't give a hoot about politics and was not required to. I'm sure they fought and they died for all the ordinary things we take for granted and which are a part of our everyday life, and for which we have not thanked God enough. And to remember those who guaranteed these gifts is a memory to live by. As I said a few moments ago, tomorrow is more than just a cookout day. And I think it's more than just a time to remember those people who surrendered their tomorrows so that we could have today. And I think it's also a great time to reflect on where this magnificent country is today compared to the times when those people died for us. I won't go very deep this morning for fear of upsetting one who might disagree with me, but I do believe that most of us realize that our country is not the same country as those who died for us in World War I or II or the Korean War. You know, back then we didn't have daily riots and killing and looting in the streets of America. And there was no polarization that we are experiencing today. Perhaps that beginning may have gotten its start during the Vietnam days. I don't know. But I do know things are certainly different than they were when we were kids growing up. In a recent Fox poll, 65% of the responders say they do not trust our government. 35% say they do. 2-1. I think it's a sad commentary. Well, tomorrow, as you pray for fallen soldiers, I hope you'll add a prayer for our country too. Now, before we wrap up the sermon here, will you consider doing something for me? I'm curious. If you've ever served in the armed forces, or if you've ever had a close relative die on the battlefield for our country, would you please stand for just a moment so that we can acknowledge him? Thank you. We honor and respect and remember you for your help in preserving America. And we thank you for your service to your country that God has certainly blessed over the years. Dear friends, forget the baggage. Forget the burdens that you carry on your shoulders. Forget the guilt that God has already forgiven you for, and the anger you carry about certain people or events. Instead, remember God. Remember who you are. And especially remember that God remembers you. Amen.